The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So welcome back to our Anapanasati practice days. And I kind of hope that it rains a lot today. Because for me, there's something very helpful about heavy rain when I'm meditating inside where it's dry. Something about the sound of it outside, and I feel much more like I'm here, kind of contained and held, and kind of feels kind of often a content feeling or peaceful feeling. I often feel very close, kind of physical embodied, and it's a wonderful kind of support and aid. So hopefully we have, you know, some good rain. And so we're going to continue today with mindfulness of breathing. And for those of you who haven't been here before, the overall frame for these months focusing on the mindfulness of breathing is a discourse by the Buddha called the Discourse on Mindfulness of Breathing, which is in this big heavy book, which gives 16 stages to of using the breath meditation, all the way from being a beginner in a sense, all the way step by step, until becoming liberated through the practice of breathing. And these 16 stages can be taken linearly, kind of sequentially, or people who are familiar with them, then you kind of flow in and out of them and out of sequence, just as your practice deepens and moves, you get a sense of the terrain, the territory of what might happen, what goes on in practice. So you can kind of adjust or practice accordingly. And I think I suspect that for a lot of people, it's more of a sense that it's familiarity to how the mind and practice and the breath kind of unfolds that is helpful. So you know how to meet it, your practice at different times. That's more useful than the idea that I get to follow this step by step by step. Though some people like the step by step approach, it seems to work very well. And so this discourse on the mindfulness of breathing begins in a very unusual way in all the discourses that preserves the Buddha's teachings. And it begins by recounting that it was the end of the rain season. The rains is a time when the Buddhist monks need to stay put. There's a rule that for 3 months every year, they stay in one place in order to practice, not wander around. And so it's quite common that and monks are kind of supposed to also be together as a group. So it isn't that you go off and be a hermit during that time, but you gather together with other monks and you stay put in one place. And so this discourse begins at the end of this 3 month period, where a large gathering of monks had gathered around the Buddha for the 3 month period. And some of his most senior disciples, people who are fully realized in their own way, were there as well. And they're there, and each of these different senior disciples is there teaching other monks, younger monks, newer monks in the practice. And so you have this beautiful scene the so-called rains, ends with a full moon of some, usually October, November time. And so you have this beautiful scene of a full moon night with this large in the woods, in the forest, in this place, where a large gathering of monastics are sitting there practicing and being taught by these senior disciples, different groups. You maybe in the forest, in the woods, you have these different groupings of people, groups of 10, groups of 20, groups of 30, it says. And then the Buddha kind of surveys what's going on, and he says he feels pleased in heart. He's happy at what he sees. And so he kind of praises what he sees. He's happy with the progress people are making. He's happy with their practice. And it's very unusual for the Buddha kind of to have this passage where the Buddha has this warmth, kind of happy kind of feeling about what he sees and the progress. And he expresses that quite explicitly. So when I read this, maybe you don't, it's not so obvious in the kind of stilted kind of way it comes across in translation, or but the what you get is this kind of I get this kind of beautiful, kind of serene kind of environment, the setting with all these people kind of involved with 3 months of practice. If you've ever gone to it, walked in, stumbled in on a 3 month retreat, or even a 10 day retreat in the middle or near the end. It's like this force field you come into of stillness, of silence. You really feel there's something really powerful going on there. So here is after 3 months of this, and the Buddha looks around and he says how pleased he is, happy in heart at what he sees. And then he says, well, this is great, and you should apply even more effort. Practice even more diligently now. You've done really well, you have a good foundation, and those of you who are not awakened, arouse more effort to practice, and I'm going to hang around here for another month. Often at the end of the rains, the monks will just disperse and go wandering around. And so the Buddha says, I'm going to hang out here for another month. I'm not going to leave. So why don't you stay while you stay and keep practicing? And that's kind of how the discourse begins. So for me, it has a very warm, nice beginning. Before, it's going to talk about mindfulness of breathing. And then... in this translation, he says, I'm content with this progress. My mind is content with this progress. My mind, my heart. Arouse still more energy to attain the unattained, to achieve the unachieved, to realize the unrealized. I'll wait here for another month. And so the word got out that he was going to hang out there for another month. So even more monks came. Monks from the countryside heard this. The rumor spread, and the news spread, and so people, even more monks, gathered there. And then a month later, the Buddha was seated in the open, surrounded by the community of monastics, and surveying the silent community, he said, "Monks, this assembly is free from prattle." This assembly is free from chatter. I'm sure we can come up with English translations that give us a nicer feeling than prattle. But free from kind of idle chatter, free from kind of... and then he says, it consists purely of heartwood. So the, kind of the heartwood is like the heart, the core, the essence of a tree. So the community consists only of the essence. So in the other means, they've been meditating for 4 months this time. And so this beautiful feeling of the essence being there. And then he comes on and praises the assembly quite a bit. And then he describes who's in the assembly. And he says that there are monks here who are fully liberated. There are monks here who have reached a variety of different stages of liberation, not fully liberated, but partially. And then there are also monks here who don't have any level of liberation, but are devoted to the four foundations of mindfulness. There are monks here devoted to other kinds of practices. There are monks here who are devoted to cultivating loving kindness practice, devoted to compassion, to altruistic joy, to equanimity. There are monks devoted to perception of impermanence. So he goes on. So you get one of the nice things also, you get a wide variety of what the monks are doing. And so it suggests that it isn't just one practice the Buddha taught. It wasn't just one normative practice. This is what you should do. But depending maybe on the personality or the dispositions or the conditions or the interest of the different monastics, they did different practices. And they were all kind of acknowledged and accepted as being valid and important. But then he goes on and says, he ends by a description of the monks. In this community, there are monks who abide devoted to the development of mindfulness of breathing. And then he's going to take off from there. And he says, when mindfulness of breathing is developed and cultivated, it is of great fruit and great benefit. So this is the, he's going to do this cheerleading. You know, all these people are practicing for a long time and they have to do these wonderful practices. And now he's going to champion the cause or the practice of mindfulness of breathing. When mindfulness of breathing is developed and cultivated, it fulfills the four foundations of mindfulness. When the four foundations of mindfulness are developed and cultivated, they fulfill the seven enlightenment factors. When the seven enlightenment factors are developed and cultivated, they fulfill true knowledge and deliverance. So in other words, if you engage yourself in the practice of mindfulness of breath and develop that fully, then with that, in the wake of that, comes the four foundations of mindfulness. In the wake of that comes the arousing of what's this beautiful quality is called the seven factors of awakening, which are the factors that need to be awakened to really help a person become liberated. And then with that comes liberation. And the way I read this, and the way you can read some other passages in the discourses, it's almost like a natural flow, natural evolution or unfolding. It isn't like you have to kind of try to make all these things happen. But when you engage in this basic practice of mindfulness of breathing, there's a way in which practice also unfolds a little bit on its own. There's this kind of these two sides of practice. There's what you do, what you offer to the practice, and then there's what unfolds as a result of your offering. And different people at different times emphasize or need to emphasize different aspects of these two sides. Some people need to focus more on what they bring to practice. They have to arouse themselves more, put more effort in. Because if you just sit home reading books about Buddhism, and that's all you do, you don't get very far. And, you know, we read the books and say, well, I'm just going to wait and trust something beautiful is going to happen. You have to apply something of your own as well. But sometimes, if you are engaged in practice in a good, healthy way, sometimes the emphasis is better put on getting out of the way, just letting something, making space for something to unfold through you, to move through you, to arouse and to happen. And if you're an engineer trying to engineer your practice too much, you just interfere with this natural unfolding that can happen. So part of practice is negotiating these two sides, the side of what you have to offer and the side of allowing something to happen as well. Giving up control as well. And then he says, and how is mindfulness of breathing developed and cultivated? So that it is of great fruit and great benefit. Here, a monastic, gone to the forest or to the root of a tree or an empty hut, empty building, sits down, having folded his legs crosswise, sits with body erect, and establishes mindfulness to the forefront. Ever mindful when breathes in, ever mindful when breathes out. So my IMC qualifies as an empty hut, empty building. It's relatively empty. So you come here and sit, and having sat here, we establish our mindfulness. First, this expression, establish mindfulness in the forefront, Bhikkhu Bodhi translates it as established mindfulness in front. It's a little bit ambiguous statement, but it basically means you kind of establish mindfulness here and now in your own physical body, your own presence. The word for front can also mean mouth, it can also mean chest, it means what's here, kind of in the forefront. So that's what how it begins. And so I think that with that, I think we should start. And then as the day goes along, I'll pick up where we left off last time. And I think how it will work best today is that we'll do a variety of kind of practices around breathing that connected to breathing and meditation in preparation for maybe in the afternoon going on to step 7 and 8, which is where we kind of left off last time. And those of you who are new, I think hopefully will follow along just fine. You don't have to necessarily know what preceded.